live Friday night from the center of the universe, back in old Studio B, is Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats. I'm Casey. I don't know where Big Mike is. No one knows where Big Ed is. He's probably in the vault of the Montecito. But we're back. It's Friday night. A lot of great energy. We got SmackDown live in front of real people. The second half of baseball is back. Tampa Bay Rays taking it on the road for one half back. And they're in Atlanta for the game. Atlanta's mascot, Blooper, is messing with Austin Meadows while doing his calisthenics. Yeah, Blooper, you got to watch him. He's a wily one. He's as much engaging as the Philly fanatic, but you know, if you don't live in the South, you probably don't even know that the Braves had a mascot. Not that you should have, but just food for thought. So there are a lot of things going on. Again, it's Friday. Just excited to see there are real people at events. It looks like it's going to get crazy there tonight. But this is not a wrestling podcast. I promise you that. Anyways, Big Ed will be joining us in a little bit. So Jimmy kind of left us as well. Kind of all left us in a lurch. Anyways, we're going to have to get that Big Ed to talk about this General Lee of Nissaquag and the legend of. I have a feeling he's going to have a few more stories down the road about that, and that's all right. We like that. Big Ed, he brings a big meal to the table. Everyone gets fed. I just have a creaking chair, and I think that's coming in through the mic, so I'll just try not to move anymore. Not anything that you want to listen to, I'm certain. So the All-Star game came and went. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani pitching and hitting. Home run derby, Pete Alonso just does his thing. He just has he's just got that swing. Once he gets in a groove, I think he could just do that all day. So, congratulations there, Petey. Our Petey approves. Speaking of Petey, he's doing well. If anyone's wondering, he's active. He just turns out to be a night frog. Just tearing through the rocks. Digging up stuff. Thinning out the pack. I believe we got Big Ed with us.
You do. What's up? Was he on the Chucklehead?
You know what? I sent him a link. So it's just me and you.
All right.
You know. Well, all right. So. We do have someone that's going to be calling in later with an Olympic update for us.
Very nice.
So around, if you're listening live, it would be around 8:30. So we're going to a little Olympic update because we don't know what's going on over there. So we're going to find out the scoops firsthand. And well, I guess the first thing I want to talk about, it must have been Christmas in July yesterday because they had Die Hard, everyone's favorite Christmas movie on TV. Hadn't watched it through start to finish in a pretty long time.
Yeah, a lot of drama.
Yeah, I mean, the guy just wants an aspirin. He's just like, you know, classic down on your luck cop in a movie.
Yeah, they really stretched it out on this one.
You know, he's going through a divorce. I mean, it's all just nothing good. I mean, the guy's having the shittiest day ever.
Yeah, he's having the same type of day that the guy in Falling Down had.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They drink at the same bar, so they talk about the same thing. So they always have like that fucking mood. Like, yeah, life's just crapped on me again.
Yep. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Very long time.
Yeah.
Well, that was back when he was making movies and, you know, when he was a hot item in the 80s, 90s.
Mike Douglas?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He was just putting out movies, man. They're always good. You couldn't go wrong.
Yeah. It was, you know, 90 minutes of entertainment.
Yeah. Hey, you got him back in the day with him and Kathleen Turner. You know, it was going to be a fun movie.
Yeah, for sure. Do you know what's on? I'm going back and forth. I have muted his I've been Rays and Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's a good movie. Nice.
They're at the diner now. John Travolta and Uma Thurman, and they're dancing in the dance contest.
So she just ordered her $5 shake, and now they're dancing.
Yeah, and he's doing the old finger across the eye, the signature, because he got tired of the old Bee Gees one, you know, from Staying Alive.
Listen, you got to pay attention to that movie. So you assume in a later scene when they walk in with the trophy back at the house when he's going to drop her off, they never won the dance contest. You have to listen. There's a radio in the background that plays in another scene. They talk about how someone stole, like caused a disturbance at a diner and stole a trophy.
I never noticed that. I would do it, but then it would mess up the sound.
Yeah. No. Don't do that. But I'm just saying that I love that Tarantino is so detailed in a movie. Like, I didn't catch that till like the fourth time I've watched it. And I've watched the movie. I stopped counting.
That's why I don't mind watching movies over to catch that. I like that kind of shit, you know.
Well, he's such a good writer director that his movies are kind of written in a way of like you're not going to catch all the detail.
Not the first time.
No. He's got one more movie. He keeps saying he's going to get one more movie and then he's going to retire. Tarantino, that is. So I'm sure it'll be good. I have the Rays. I'm flipping between the Rays and the WWE SmackDown, and this is their first show with a live audience, and they're out in Houston, and people are going bananas already. So the rumor is WWE is going to pull all the stuff. You know, they're going to go all out these first next few live shows. I guess they've been holding back on some talent. Looks pretty packed there in Houston, I could tell you that.
Freshen up the storylines.
Yeah, I think they're waiting, you know, because they want to work towards, you know, obviously their big events like SummerSlam later this year and so forth. But, you know, as I drop my pen... Oh, never mind. Hey, so Foo Fighters. I was talking to you before the show, you know, for context of anyone that listening, but I was talking to you before the show. Foo Fighters, they have a new album that comes out tomorrow. They've been, and it's going under a pseudonym. It's, they're going to be called the DGs, and it's a disco album.
Yeah, they... I like the Foo Fighters. I don't get excited for them, and sometimes I think they just try too hard to be that cool band. Or
yeah, I could see that. I don't know. It's like a fun concept. I mean, part of it.
Yeah,
a live
one
album.
One thing they don't do is take themselves seriously, and I do appreciate that. You know, but sometimes they just try too hard. Seems like.
Right,
but they're trying to keep the rock and roll alive, you know, by playing rock and roll.
Yeah. I mean, they'll probably be back on tour. Actually, they're on tour now. They had to amend a couple shows, but, you know, they already played played a little bit around the U.S. I think they were heading out to the West Coast. But they're going to put this album out. It's called Hail Satin. And they wanted to do this for this record store day, too, where, you know, it's a promotion of getting people to go to a local record store and buy vinyl. So I think not so much trying to be cool, but I think a reason to get people to go to the store, you know, is a promotion.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's a gimmick, but it's different. It's probably the reason why they have been able to stay relevant all these years. You know, you think he's outlasted his former band much farther.
Tenfold.
You know, it's like 25 years out now since their first album.
I saw them open for the Stones on the Bridges of Babylon tour.
Oh, yeah.
Over at
You know what? For the Stones, I always liked that album. You know, like a more mature Stones band. Anything they did in the 80s, give me Bridges to Babylon over anything. You know, from 1981 on.
Well, what about Tattoo You? Was that 1980?
Yeah. All right. Well, throw Tattoo You. I'd still pick Bridges to Babylon over Tattoo You.
Oh, no. I would do the opposite. Dude, that was huge. Tattoo You. I mean, that got huge radio. Huge.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have like Start Me Up, which is like one of those, you know, rock jock, you know, like what they play at the stadiums.
Yeah.
Every sporting event, you can hear like a Start Me Up.
Catch with that. And that was like their opening song for years.
Well, it's got such a signature guitar sound, you know.
Yeah. That was huge, man. Holy crow, Casey. And I came out. I was down here and working at UB.
Yeah.
It came out. It was huge. Yeah, that was going to be their last tour. That was supposed to be their farewell.
That's like 9 studio albums ago, like 12 world tours since.
Yeah, at least maybe more. 1981, so 30 years.
They must have accidentally fell into that gimmick. You're like, maybe they were going to be done, and then they're like, we made so much money in that tour. Let's just keep telling them we're going to retire.
We made more than we ever made in our career in 1 year.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They're going to go on tour again. They were supposed to tour because, you know, when COVID canceled, he had like...
Yeah, 2022 is going to be just, I think, show after show. People are itching to get out on the road.
Mick Jagger was like doing, he had like some heart procedure, and then he was like training in a dance studio to get in shape. I mean, and I think he was 73, 74 at the time. I couldn't move the way he moves. I'd be laying on the ground dead.
Yeah. Like, do you know he had that procedure done in New York City?
Oh, I believe that. He kind of lit. You can't tell where he's living.
Well, he's a resident of the UK, but
yeah, but he's got like a place in New York. I think he's got a place in probably South America, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all over the place.
He's bad. He's nationwide.
Yes, but you ain't gonna catch him with cheap sunglasses.
No.
Hey, so you sent me a video earlier this week, and I sat down, went out a few minutes to watch the whole thing of Matt DiBenedetto, who currently drives the Wood Brothers 21 car.
What a class act. I just, a good guy just venting his frustrations and taking all the blame, like not blaming anyone.
Yeah, I mean, so to catch everyone else up that didn't see this, and he put it on like his Facebook page, you know, or the Facebook Live, but what happened to Matt, that there was an announcement this week that there's going to be a new driver taking over the 21 car next year. So Matt is kind of found out that he's a free agent. So, yeah, basically he's venting about how hard they work to get this team dialed in. And, you know, he's going to have to hopefully get a chance to start over again.
Well, I guess all eyes are going to watch and see how he finishes the season, first of all. So I'm sure he's going to drive his ass. Plus, that team's really starting to come together.
Yeah, they've started putting some good races together. And you could see you know what? He's been through that scenario before, because that happened with him when he was up. I guess that was the 38 car he was in. They kind of did the same thing to him. And, you know, the Wood brothers at the time were able to step up and get him a ride.
Yeah, he was saying that he finally, the team's starting to gel and they're seeing results, and he's just surprised.
Where do you think he ends up next year?
You know what? I don't see him. I don't know, because silly season hasn't started, but all the prime teams are going to take kids out of the, you know, the Xfinity series, you know, or Camping World.
Right.
It'd be nice to see him get signed by a Gibbs or a, you know, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Hey, guys. So that's what you'd like to say. Hey, Big Mike.
Hey, I'm on the road. So I am mobile.
Okay, he's on the move, folks. To clue everyone in, we have Big Mike actually following Matt DiBenedetto behind him, just driving behind to kind of get the latest scoop where he's going to be in the future.
Matty D said he won't pull over for me, but that's okay.
All right, Big Mike, where do you think DiBenedetto lands next year? And then the second part, where would you like to see him land?
Okay, those are tough questions, because here's what we got. DiBenedetto, I think he's a fantastic race car driver. He's a wheel man. He can land anywhere with an open seat with a good ride. But I can't really see who's right now. There's nobody open. I could see him maybe Ryan Newman's in the last year of his contract with Roush Racing, where Roush Fenway, which is now the big news this week, Brad Keselowski is now going to be part owner, a minority owner with Roush Fenway Racing going over there. I would maybe like to see him land over there.
With Keselowski?
With Keselowski. So Keselowski's going over there. Newman's in the last year of his contract. I think that would be a good place, but I don't know if there's enough room at the end there. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say right now where Matty D ends up.
I was saying, I don't think it's going to be a premier team if he does.
You know, that's the way, unfortunately, I think you're right. That's the way it looks right now, that it's not going to be one of a top tier or even a high second tier type team. It's very, very, very early to talk.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of I think they're more worried about finishing the season than where he's going. Yeah.
So I want to see him win. I want to see him win, and I end up getting the Wood brothers. It would be their 100th win, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
well, I have a suggestion. I have a suggestion to Matty D. You know, listen, I got a place. I got the Clay Boney. You could drive the Clay Boney. Come here. Be one of us.
I was just gonna, I don't think the clay boat can pass NASCAR inspection.
Well, no. Well, you're not going to race the clay boney, but like, he's got a job as a driver. He's going to drive the clay boney and also be the driver for that clay boney when it's the battle bot.
Oh, yes. I talked to the clay boney battle bot.
Yes.
Okay.
See, everyone else has got their like 6-year-old son driving their stupid battle bot. That we're going to get a professional wheelman.
That might give us a leg up. Quite possibly.
Then all you have to worry about is working the defense mechanisms.
Listen, I'll go to an LQK and pick up stuff. Have something that like launches out like Roman candles.
Yes.
Roman candles are fun. You know, we're coming out of the 4th of July season. Yeah. That'd be good. And then,
you know,
we could have bottle rockets as a distraction.
Yes. It's all diversion. Just blow up everyone in the audience.
We may not be invited back to another BattleBot competition if we blow up everybody in the audience.
We only have to win one. That's it.
That's it.
One and done? Okay.
And move on to the next, project.
Enter it in the UFC.
So, what's on our agenda tonight, boys? I have to say that my day was very hectic. I didn't get out of work till almost 7 o'clock. I had to go home and quickly get my gear together to head out. So, what do we got on today's show?
Well, We do have a caller that's going to give us an Olympic update. I sent a correspondent out somewhere, and we'll get to that in a second as I tease that. And that'll be in about another 6 minutes. I want to talk about that Garden of Life ad. a lot of interesting language in there. Like the first time I saw it on TV, but we'll get to that. I do want to bring up a toy with you, Mike, as you know a lot about toys and collections and something new that's coming out. And then our beat writer on the ground, Jimmy Mike, gave me some stories to kind of news of the weird, and sweet Melissa too. She contributed. So we got stories like that, but see, we got a few minutes. So, all right. So I want to talk about the toy real quick. If you got a minute there, Big Mike.
I got plenty of time. I'm just driving. You know,
okay.
My time.
Oh, yeah. You're following old Matty D. That's fine.
Yeah,
so as you're following Matty D. So,
yeah, you know, follow your own story, Casey. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Listen, Big Ed, just keep
track. I was following. We're all secure now. Follow the story.
All right. So, Marvel makes a lot of toys. It's the big thing right now with the movies, the comic books, etc. So Hasbro has a toy line dedicated to making these very intricate Marvel collectors. And they have one for a character called Galactus, which was more in the Fantastic Four storylines. But he's like a villain that eats planets. That's who actually the Silver Surfer kind of was supposed to work for, what have you.
Kind of like Unicron.
Yes, he's Unicron was a ripoff of basically Galactus. So they're making a Galactus figurine, and he's going to be very tall, Mike, very big. How many inches do you think he would be?
Okay, so we're talking about a figure.
They're going to try to make the scale and something that's large enough that eats planets.
Eight inches.
36 inches. He's going to be 3 feet tall.
Are you kidding me?
He's got 70 moving like appendages. So you can like make his hand a complete fist. Like each finger has like three joints on it or three little hinges.
Boy,
yeah, the detail's insane. It's got LED lights.
$3,000 toy.
You know what? All right. Fair enough. You know what? Then you need to buy it. You got to buy it in a bargain. It's going to be only $400.
Oh, only $400. Mom and Dad can't wait for that one to show up on the Christmas list.
So Hasbro said they want like 14,000 orders and they'll start production on it. If they get like 14,000 orders in, I forget, X amount of days. And in 48 hours, there were 3,000 orders put in.
Wow. That's mind-blowing is.
I mean, obviously, you do not play with this toy. You just put it in a closet somewhere.
Oh, no, he gets the same treatment as Sir Duke. On a rainy day, he's going to have a horseshoe magnet coming at him.
You know, that would be kind of funny to like buy a toy like that and then destroy it on video, and like you'd have all these collectors who'd just be like going nuts. Like, what the
like 18 months later, you know, here's the figurine in the corner and just a pile of rubble of LED and plastic. You and Sir Duke.
That would be in memory of Sir Duke.
Maybe we could buy one and beat the crap out of it. We'll shoot it with the wrist rocket, you know?
Yeah.
You know what a wrist rocket is, right?
A slingshot.
Yeah. Like a really good slingshot. Like a high-powered slingshot. Yeah, I think that would be the only way we could take out that statue would be with.
Are there any pictures of this toy on the internet?
Yes.
Okay. You'll have to send me a link after.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll send you a link.
Wow.
Maybe that'll be something I'll put on the Twitter too.
Wow. But to have as many orders already. Yeah, well, you know, I'm a collector and I get it. If it falls within your area of passion and your area of collecting and it's a passion. Collecting, any collector will tell you, Big Ed will tell you, collecting is a passion. You have a passion for whatever it is you collect. And sometimes money's no object. And
you know your dollar limit on stuff.
Yeah, oh,
you know,
sure.
You know where you're at.
But there's collectors out there that will just, you know what? Hey, I'm not making my car payment this month. I'm buying this toy.
Right.
Which that's not advisable. It's not a good idea. But, hey, there's people out there, I'm sure, that do that.
Yeah, but if we buy one to destroy it, we're just helping the, you know, the collectors, because it's going to just go up in value.
Absolutely, because there's one less out there. 100%.
That's right.
You know, the collectability, if there's too many available, the value's not there. Supply and demand. So we're doing
that's why there are people like me out there who, you know, sometimes just say, fuck it, and just destroy it.
Yeah, I need people to keep destroying their Ken Griffey Jr. rookie cards. About like 900,000 more of them, please.
What's a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card worth right now?
Nothing, because they knew he was going to be so popular that they just kept printing that card without telling anyone. To include the guys that ran the baseball card shops.
Wow. So this cent or quarter card.
Yeah, especially Upper Deck. Upper Deck was really bad.
Upper Deck was, yeah.
Yeah, they just, this guy just got this sheet of, he just kept running sheets. It was just Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, millions of them.
Yeah, there's a story on Netflix about that.
Yeah, you know what? I've seen that documentary. If you grew up collecting baseball cards, it's pretty good. I'll have to look that up. Hold on, gentlemen. We're getting a live correspondent just calling in from the games in Tokyo, giving us a update for the Olympics. Oh, sweet shit. Melissa.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome. Do you like the show? Do you like it at?
I mean, I'm very far away, so I didn't know.
That's why I try to. You like or something?
I what?
Ohio Gazimus.
What? I haven't learned.
Yeah,
that
you'll
part.
You'll figure out when you hang out in the Olympic Village. I mean, you know, the other you'll pick up some phrases.
I must be in the wrong place. I haven't seen the Olympic Village yet.
Oh, you know why? That's right. There are no fans there, right?
No. No. And
so you can't follow the crowd.
They've tried to They've tried to kick me out of here several times.
Hey, so can you do me a favor, sweet Melissa, while you're there? Can you get Big Ed a pair of panties from one of the vending machines, please?
Oh, yeah. What color? Right.
I don't care about the color.
That's very pervy.
No, it's not. It's not pervy. Why would you sell it in a vending machine then if
Wait,
it was pervy?
Have they been worn?
Hey, it's for Petey, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Petey likes to sniff underwear. He's a strange character.
Hey, you know what? If it's for Petey, you better get two.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, I don't want one of those department store ones. I want one out of the vending machine because
authentic.
They've been worn before.
Oh. I mean, the ones in the stores probably have been too.
No, not the ones in the vending machine. They're right there next to the cigarettes and beer.
Oh, wow.
It's a one-stop shop.
I don't even know if I'm in the right city.
Are you in the right country?
I mean, I'm sweet Melissa, though, so I probably wouldn't notice these things.
Just unload a vending machine that has any Georgia coffee and sneak it back by any way possible.
Oh, that's right. I will look for that for sure.
What is coffee panties, yes.
Yeah, it goes together.
Yes, and you could actually hide the panties in the coffee when you go through customs. It'll hide the smell.
It's called Georgia coffee. It's sold in a can. You could either get it hot or cold.
It's like
it's actually made by Coca-Cola, and they only sell it in Japan.
Very.
It's 110 yen. Yeah.
Which is how many dollars?
Probably like a $1.25 here. Depending on the conversion rate.
I forgot if I tried that or if I just saw it.
Okay. How did you get there?
How did I get there?
Yeah.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
All of them.
Yeah.
She traveled with fucking Steve Martin.
I was going to say, did she have a big sales case with her? Her hat cases and her suitcases and their hat cases.
And at the end of their trip, Steve Martin brought her to his house because he realized she had no family to go home to.
What a nice ending.
In Japan.
Oh, sorry. Hey, sorry. Spoiler alert. Yeah, he's got a house in Japan. He's got a second family on the side.
He speaks Japanese.
Oh, Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Ah, Martin.
That's how he says his name when he's over there.
Of course. Of course.
It's like you were there with us.
Yes.
So how about an Olympic update then? We've heard quite a bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, you texted me about, were those two track and field athletes? What were they named again that you met?
Oh, well, we hung out last night at this really fun bar. Emma Coburn and Sydney McLaughlin.
Yeah, yeah. And now, what were they telling you?
Oh, all kinds of things. They've heard about Jimmy. They told me to stay away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I heard Jimmy's pretty fond of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jimmy who?
Jimmy Mike.
Oh, yeah.
My bad. I forgot to use his last name.
Jimmy Mike's an international guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They all know him over there.
He's even worse than international wide.
I think they listened to the podcast last week too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so you're going to stay there for the
sayonara,
duration. Of the
thank you.
So you're going to call in every week for the duration of the Olympics, then?
Heck yeah.
The Olympics are 2 weeks, so we should get one more phone call.
Well, they haven't started yet.
Right. Well, that would be the duration of the Olympics.
Yeah. It's like pre, during, and post.
Okay.
Yeah.
So four.
Yeah.
Four installments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to have Olympic music, Casey.
No, that's not it.
No.
Oh. It's bear, 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 bear.
9, 8, 7, 6.
I'm a little scared.
5, 4.
Is it gonna blow up?
3, 2, 1.
That was like the space shuttle.
Yeah, something like that. So, will that be our Olympic theme until I can come up with one? I know how to.
How about the old Olympic horns? The old, you know, I don't think that's copyrighted. You play that or Ferrajaca, no one's going to say nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they right. Let us
borrow. We could bring in the Olympics with Ferrajaca.
I'll just ask these nice Tokyo people that are trying to kick me out what we can play.
Ferrajaca, it is.
Jimmy Mike. Emma Coburn and Sydney McLaughlin are like twins, only one has darker hair and darker skin. So that's funny that those would be his picks.
Well, you know, he's a big believer in track and field.
Yes, for all the running he's going to be doing from now on.
he's going to be doing a lot of running. All right, so sweet Melissa, we'll catch you around this time next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's only like 3 a.m. here, so I'm good. It's almost bedtime.
Yep, almost bedtime. No. Well, all right, you got to check your clock. It should be
yeah. Right I think
might
wanna,
you might want to wind that shit. Yeah.
You might have been up all night, but that's all right. That happens.
I turned my clock.
The sun comes up that time of year at 5 a.m., so it's an honest mistake.
Right.
So
it's very confusing, especially because I had just been in Baltimore. So to go from Baltimore to Tokyo, it's night and day.
Oh, it might have been the same day.
Right. And day.
Might have been the same day. Well, if you fly a certain direction, absolutely.
Oh, no, she'd actually go across the date line.
Now I'm going to be real confused about flying a certain way.
Yeah.
Luckily, the pilot took care of that.
Luckily, huh?
Yeah.
Would he set your watch for you?
I think so.
All right.
So, I'll go check on that clock.
Yeah, you better fix that clock, and then we'll see you next week. Sweet Melissa. All right.
Yeah, you fix that clock, okay?
Okay.
Sorry to all our
thank you
fans or big heads.
Wish me luck.
Poor.
Yeah, watch but, hey, your connection's great for Japan, but yeah.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah.
I was concerned.
Watch your rock.
All right, I'm going to go to sleep now.
All
after
right.
I listen
sayonara.
To the show. Sayonara.
Sayonara.
Bye.
Arrivederci. Peace.
Bye.
Well, how about that? All the way from Japan.
Yeah. So I embezzled some money, but hey.
Yeah,
I did not embezzle money. But yep. So we got an Olympic correspondent. We made it happen.
Wow. Show's moving along pretty good. I didn't know we had that kind of a budget, but hey, all right. Good on us.
Now, Big Mike, now I know Lou, or I don't know who that guy is, but whoever I sent this information to on the Garden of Life commercial.
I did not get the – it was a lady on a toilet.
Yes.
I did not get to view this fine commercial. I'm like, what the hell is this? I just – like I said, my afternoon was a mad thrash from about – the time I got home from work till joining you on the telephone via my car. So tell me about this commercial and what kind of product are they peddling?
Well, I get it's a probiotic. I guess it's, you know, this new gimmick thing for your stomach, but I'd like to play it so you can hear it.
Oh, let's listen.
If you don't mind.
I don't mind all at right, all.
Is hard, especially if you're a woman who's also having trouble doing that totally normal thing all humans do, but not all of them like to talk about.
Oh, are you talking about pooping?
Let's just say Garden of Life's doctor-formulated women's probiotics help your digestion so you can be a more regular human.
I'm comfortable talking about poop. You can just say poop.
It's 2021. I think everyone knows that women poop.
I love pooping. You poop, girl.
Plus, did you know that the 40 billion probiotics found in Garden of Life can help support immune system health?
Oh, are you poop-splaining me right now?
Wow.
Don't be shy about pooping.
Pooping is powerful.
This is my favorite part of the day.
I poop. She poops. All women poop. I'm a woman, and I poop.
I'm a woman, and I poop.
I'm a woman, and I poop regularly.
Thanks for the poop-powerment.
I'm not saying poop-powerment.
I'm pooping right now.
Look for Garden of Life, the number one probiotic that helps women, number two. And it can even help maintain healthy pH and yeast levels.
Oh, are we talking about my vagina now?
Wow. Right, I would swear that was fine. I thought that was an SNL spoof when I first saw it.
Is that a real commercial? Are you serious? That's a real commercial. That's not a spoof.
I don't know what I was watching. Oh, you know why? I think I was, of all things, I think it was came on like during Die Hard yesterday. And I just was laughing so hard. I'm like, what did I just watch? They said poop like 45 times in like a minute. It must have been like a bet. Like, you can't get someone to say poop that many times.
So.
It's crazy. No, that's a real ad.
You know what? I can't believe these eight ladies have not read Everyone Poops. There's a book. It's illustrated. It'll take about 8 minutes to read. I mean, what else is there to talk about? Everybody poops. We know that, lady. Yeah.
Play poops.
You know what? We should come out with a book just to fuck with kids called Everyone Poops But You.
Yeah.
Oh.
If it hurts, hold it in, you know? Traumatic. They're gonna take him to the shrink and shit, you know. Kid stopped up. He's afraid he's gonna rip his ass open. Which should be impossible. Right, it would just smooth it out into one long log. It should just be like pushing, you know, 10 pounds of shit through a 5-pound bag, you know.
I think we have the makings of a great children's book.
Yeah. Or a children's horror book or something, you know.
Who do we get to else?
Or maybe it's a book to comfort kids that have a hard time pooping, and they like, you know, teach them, like, you know, eat fiber. Have a cup of coffee in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, eat some oatmeal. Put down the sugar smacks and eat some oatmeal.
Yeah, easy with the cheese, kid.
Yeah.
My dad used to call cheese asshole putty.
Asshole putty.
So.
Big John.
Yeah. So that is freaking insane that is a real commercial pushing a probiotic. Hey, probiotics are good. How do they get that passed? Yeah. Do they still have censors for TV or like an ethics board or something along those lines? How do they get that past them? I mean, I think it's great. I think it's hilarious. And it doesn't offend me one iota, but I'm sure there's some people out there that are easily offended by something like that.
We're being conditioned to accept this stuff.
Oh, you really want to write that non-pooping book. Hey, did you guys get a chance to see from our off-air correspondent, Jimmy Mike? He sent us a story where it was from mandatory.com. But
the lady in Maine?
Yeah. So the state of Maine is adjusting some of the personalized plates.
Yeah, it's not the size of the plates. It's what's being on it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. The personalized or custom
vanity plates. And vanity plates are huge in Maine, by the way.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, that's Portland. That's all I saw with vanity plates. So this lady, she's getting a wrap made for that minivan that's gonna say "tits out." So she's
out.
That's what her
it's
license.
It's not what you
says.
Think, but it's not what you think.
I was gonna
it
say,
has
what
to do
she-
with? It's about breastfeeding.
Yeah.
That takes the fantasy right out of it, doesn't it?
No, well, and then she followed up, and she's like. But she did say also Maine is a state that says it's okay for women to be topless. So I don't know where she's going with it.
It's just topless in public and just walk
around.
She's
going First Amendment. You know, I mean, that's what she's doing.
Yeah, you got to pick your fights in life, and that's a good fight.
Well, obviously
hashtag,
she's got the time for
hashtag
it.
Hashtag tits out.
Hashtag I got time for tits. Always time for tits.
There is always time for tits.
All right, let me ask you guys this. Have you ever seen boobs in public where the crowd turns in a negative fashion?
Boobs in public where the crowd turns like they're like, put your boobs away. We don't want to see those.
Never?
Never. I've usually seen boobs at a NASCAR race, and
they get a lot of cheers.
They get a lot of cheers. Race fans like boobs.
Big Ed?
No, never a negative connotation for showing your boobs.
See that? I would normally agree with that statement. I not to say I was a part of it, but I witnessed. At a rock festival that they used to have here in Tampa, it was hosted by 98 Rock called Livestock, which they did through the late 90s to the early 2000s, right?
Yes.
You've heard of that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right? It was big. It had its moment. So,
I was at one, and, you know, they have like a campground you stay out at, and I was wandering through it, and they have a main like thoroughfare that you walk through, kind of cut through. Which would be normally a lane where people are going to drive out later with their cars, but some lady just decided to whip them out, and there was a crowd by this camper, and they just started chanting "troll" and throwing stuff at her. It was pretty intense.
Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah, it was pretty wild, man.
Was it the He-Man Woman Haters Club?
I don't know what it was. Look, I don't agree with it, but that's what I saw, man. It was.
I've never heard of the I Hate Titties Club.
It was a wild scene. I was like, you know, I'm going to go back to my little campsite. This place is getting a little too rowdy for me.
Wow, rowdy.
I mean, rowdy. Were there offensive looking titties?
Yeah.
Well, if I remember, she was. Rotund and older. much older.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are really wasted. I remember specifically there was like a part of the campground that they warned you, like, do not go over there. Just everyone's just way too wasted. It was just nothing but like, you know, just drunken melee all night. So I'm like, well, I'm going to stay on the opposite side of the campground.
So she had offensive titties and they didn't like it. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, they, yeah. I mean, the crowd let them.
Well, I've seen the crowd turn on Santa Claus, so I guess titties could also be turned on.
Yeah, another thing that you don't think can ever get turned on, Santa Claus and titties. They've been on the same side of, or the wrong side of something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I saw, I partake in the Santa thing, but still the crowd did turn with a little persuasion.
Now, have you guys ever seen good personalized plates? You're like, oh, that's clever, or that's really funny, that you think probably snuck by?
You know what?
Yeah. Well,
snuck by like dirty plates? No. I haven't seen one in the wild. I've seen them in magazines, but I've never seen one in the wild.
Jimmy Mike had one that had STFU on it.
Nice. Oh.
Yeah. I think that was on his Charlotte plates. STFU.
Nice.
You, Casey, have you ever seen like a very witty license plate out in the lot?
You know what? I never have. It's always like it was like in a Maxim magazine or something like that, you know?
Yeah, you know.
Or somewhere in the interwebs.
Right.
Do stories about that.
Right, it's magazines. I've seen them in Car and Driver or in Auto Week. Auto Week was good about that. And their last page, Auto Week always had some kind of they had like if you can think of it this way, kind of almost like a comic. They had like five bubbles, and they would have something witty in each one of them. There are pictures. So.
Nice.
So, you know, and they'd have witty.
Yeah, Motor Trend always had something at the last page was witty about a car.
Motor Trend usually had a little bit more sense of humor about stuff, where I found like Road and Track was a little bit more stuffy.
Yeah, Road and Track is.
I used to read Motor Trend.
Well, hey, fellas, I got to get going. I got to bail on the show a little early tonight. So.
Wow.
That's how it is.
I hate to have to go, but I've reached my destination, and. So I gotta bail, but I will be back next week with our normal time, live and in person. And so our fans out there, all the Big Mike fans, all two of you, thanks for listening. You guys.
Okay. Right, take care, Big Mike.
See you guys.
See you, bye.
See ya.
Hey. So, what do you think of the that story with the gator? Florida man strikes again.
Yeah, Florida. This Daytona is what gives half these northern stories, you know, a bad name, you know, that make it up north.
Yeah, I saw, I'm like, all right, anytime I see where's the story happening in Florida, I got to find out. It's usually three cities I find are the biggest culprits. It's going to be West Palm Beach, Daytona Beach, and Pinellas Park. Well, the story is, for the fill in everyone, a Florida man stole an alligator from a miniature golf course, which if you play miniature golf in Florida for whatever reason, they always have a couple gators in one of their little ponds. It's like a kitschy Florida thing. But, you know, up here in Daytona, this 32-year-old man stole the gator and tried to throw it on the roof of a cocktail lounge right off A1A, which is where all the police drive up and down at night.
She was trying to prove a point, too, or make it, like, punish the gator or something. Like, his whole logic behind it was so stupid.
Oh, wait. So this is even better. It's like the perfect storm. The gentleman himself, even though this happened in Daytona, he's from Homestead. So, shocker. Another part of Florida really likes to make the bad news or weird news circuit.
That's so true.
Come on, guys. You guys got to start stepping it up. This is everyone's looking to Florida. You don't throw alligators on the roofs.
And then he didn't even make it on the roof, too. He was swinging it by his tail. I mean, God forbid, he lost the control, and the gator's going to be mad as fuck now, because usually they don't mess with you.
Right.
This could have went really bad.
Yeah.
Instead, he swung it against the pole or the building and then threw it on the ground. He stomped on it, and, he went to jail.
Yeah, well, as it should.
Yeah, the thing's got the brains the size of a fucking thumbtack. I mean, they're reptiles. They're not smart at all. They just want to eat and sleep. That's it. Let them do it. And when the time's right, you cut its tail and you have fried gator tail.
Right.
Yeah. That's all.
Which tastes like chicken.
Yeah, and then you get a pair of shoes and nice purse, perhaps. That's all.
Right.
That's all they want. That's all they want. Be turned into luggage and, footwear. And poop.
Right.
What more can you ask for? Hey, hunt me only during the season, okay?
3 days.
That's it.
3 days.
Have at it.
Get a license.
Go fucking crazy. Give me all the lead you want those 3 days. Rest of the year? Look, leave me be.
Right.
I'll be around him for those 3 days. It's not like I can hide.
Let me hang out on this golf course. Watch guys shank these balls right into the cypress trees.
And they stay away because they know.
Yeah, that Titleist is mine now. Thank you.
Titleist, Nike, you name it. I got it.
Oh, you like Slazenger? Got a couple of those back there.
It's got a little side gig tone.
Yeah.
Chicken tenders for golf balls.
You see the gator in the parking lot selling golf balls to golfers?
Yeah.
Again, this guy's got a good business sense to him.
Get him a number two off the snack cart, and he's all yours.
Yeah.
Because that comes with extra fries.
Well, Big Ed, I think we're at that time. The Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective.
I hope – I think you guys are going to like this. This band defined a sound for a region, ZZ Top. The album's called The Grail, the sixth studio album by the Texas Rockers. A great after a two-year hiatus, the band began to showcase the influence they've collected during their time away, and the band also consciously tried experimenting with technology. For example, Gibbons likened the technology heard from an episode of Phil Donahue show, and they got a hold of their engineer and shared the secret. and used it on this album for songs like Manic Mechanic. The album was released in 1979. It peaked at number 24 on Billboard 200, certified platinum. I mean, it did well. It was released, November 79. United States Billboard Top 200. Platinum, which is 1 million copies, and I think it sold up close to 2 million copies. The length is 33 minutes. It's released by Warner Brothers. The genre, they call it Texas blues, rock boogie, rock hard. I call it Tex rock. And if anyone's listened to Stevie Ray Vaughan or ZZ Top, they'll know what they mean by Tex rock. Some real talent here helping out, though. You had a Bill Ham as the producer. He's the manager and the image maker for this band. He discovered Clint Black and did a lot of country publishing. Made a lot of money publishing country music. And the engineer, Terry Manning, he's no slouch, more than 50 years in the business. He's worked with Zeppelin, Maiden, Bryan Adams, Booker T, Shakira, Isaac Hayes, Otis Redding, Rhino Bucket. I could go on. Molly Hatchet, George Thorogood. I mean, the list goes on. His resume is tight. Joe Walsh. So we got... You get 10 songs, real quick. They're real quick blasts. This is a real traditional. This was ZZ Top. You know, they came out in 1969, so they, you know, were trying to play for the radio. It starts out real aggressive with the "I Thank You," which is actually an Isaac Hayes song, and then goes right into "She Loves My Automobile." Just the thing flows from "I'm Bad, I'm Nationwide," "A Fool for Your Stockings," "Manic Mechanic," "Dust My Broom," another cover. The first time they played covers, they happened to be classic blues songs. So the American musical landscape in 79 was all over the map. Rock and roll, however, was still near the top of the mountain. You had Cheap Trick, but broke out with their legendary Live at Budokan. Led Zeppelin was still making its way with In Through the Outdoor. And the Knack charged right out of the gate with "My Sharona," which would go on to be the biggest song of the year. A band like ZZ Top didn't exactly fit into any of the commercial cool music circles. So the band just shrugged, cranked out one of the best albums of their career. One of my favorite of all times. It blasts off with "I Thank You" into a slide-riddled "She Loves My Automobile" to the song legends that are made of "I'm Bad, I'm Nationwide," with its funk and cool breeze type lyrics, the greatest stripper blues song ever, "A Fool for Your Stockings." The album just presses on and keeps the flow and excitement going. Does not stop when reeling into "Manic Mechanic," when you get the "Coon Tune" put on you. That action doesn't stop. I mean, "Hi-Fi Mama," a rocket 2-minute assault of precision timing of percussion and bass trading riffs with Gibbons on guitar, transitions to "Esther Be the One," with some of the bass, greatest bass jamming of Hill's bass, seems so effortless. I cannot say enough about this masterful album. Who could forget "Cheap Sunglasses," written about being on the road and seeing cheap sunglasses on cardboard sheets in these little pump stations while traveling. I cannot say enough of good things about its album. It is so complete to me. If I was stranded on an island, I would want to have a copy of this with me. I couldn't live without this album. I would give this a 4.5 out of 5. This is just a great album. Billy Gibbons guitar, Dusty Hill bass, and Frank Beard drums. They've been together since 1969. These guys aren't going anywhere. They're still on the road. They're great.
Seasoned veterans by the time this album comes out.
They've been around 10 years. This is, well, they were grinding out music since the 60s, playing clubs a lot of down in Louisiana and Texas, and just played. They made their grit on the road. They learned their craft on the road by playing live. And they just got a good shot in New York. Look, they had already done Tres Hombres in 1973, which was, I could have equally said very similar things about it, you know. I think these two albums are that much alike as they are different, you know.
No, that's a good way to describe it. It's definitely, you could see the DNA of DeGuayo from.
Yes, this
completed their sound. But you could see the growth. Exactly. The growth of the band, though, from that point, from point A to point B, being DeGuayo. I have the album. You turned me on to this album. I absolutely adore it. Definitely, I think if you like rock and roll music, this has to be in your collection. It has to be.
Yeah, this is a must-have.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. This is, and I sincerely love ZZ Top. It's always been like one of my favorite rock bands. I always kind of dug their sound. And yeah, they're going to be out here in Tampa, I think, in like November. They're going to be on the road. That's another band. They're going back out there. They're professionals.
You're gonna see a great show.
Everyone I've ever talked to about seeing ZZ Top have said the same thing. One of the best live shows. They sound.
I saw them on Eliminator with Sammy Hagar.
Oh, nice.
Sammy Hagar opened during the Rock Block tour, and ZZ Top had them at the Nassau Coliseum.
So that was right before Sammy. Sammy was still at the height of his solo career before he took over for Van Halen.
Oh, it was way before, because he did the next album, had I Can't Drive. So he was like really still client. I mean, he was up there, but, you know, I Can't Drive 55 just fucking launched him through another, you know, layer, you know?
Yeah.
So he was definitely plus he was a seasoned guy. He'd been in Montrose, another.
Yeah. That's a guy you always forget, like how long he had been around.
He's like 75 years old.
Yeah, I think he was older than those guys considerably in Van Halen.
Yes.
When he joined Van Halen.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah.
So a little teaser to the audience, the listeners. I told Casey yesterday I'm going to start working on Big Ed's top 40. I'm talking top 40 albums of my all time. If you guys have any input, Casey, where can they reach us?
Well, you can always tweet us at Beer Seats right there on Twitter. You can reach us by email through the show at warmbeerinthecheapseats.com. Or you could go directly to our website called warmbeerinthecheapseats.com. We have little hyperlinks. You can click on it, interact with us. We love your input. We love the input of the fans. When you're listening live, there's a message board. We're monitoring it. And if not, you know, download later in the week. That's all right. Share with a friend. Like us. Join us. Be a part of us. We are Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats.
Yes.
Well, Big Ed, that was a great review. I was excited when you told me you were going to do DeGuayo, and I'm really excited about your top 40 albums. I'm interested in how you're going to do that format-wise.
It's
a teaser. It's going to happen in the future, but not right away.
I think after the next two reviews, I told you what I was going to do the next two.
Okay.
They're themed after the Duke Boy of Nessaquag, you know?
Yes. The General Lee of Nissaquag.
anything I was driving was the General Lee. It didn't matter. I had no hard feelings. I kept my foot in them all.
Yeah, well, my cars were always like a Corporal Shithead, so, you know, I never didn't have the same kind of touch. So, you know, that's the yang to the yang. So,
yeah, all right. Yeah.
Well, I think we said about enough tonight. What do you think?
I can speak more or less. It's up to you. I'm good. Oh. Pretty good show.
Yeah, I think we.
Do you know, I listened to this album about 15 times. That's okay.
No.
I listened to this album at least 3 times a day while I had my coffee, while I was driving to work, and while I was driving home. And then yesterday, all that maybe 3 or 4 times yesterday, I just couldn't get enough of them. Like, you know what? I'm just going to do it again. Again.
It's, you know what? It's definitely an album by an older rock band. I mean, you clock it in. I think it's like 38 or 42 minutes, somewhere between there.
It's quick. It's 33:54.
Oh, it's even faster than that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all 2 minute. If you look, like Hi-Fi Mama is 2 minutes long. It's like a quick assault.
Oh, what a great song. Yes. You know what? I think that all right.
I'd love to sing that song live.
I love Hi-Fi Mama and I'm Bad, I'm Nationwide. I love that song. That's like a great anthem song.
Yeah, that's
it's you know, it's all about attitude. And you're bad and you're nationwide. It's kind of like Tampa Sports. That's what we are right now.
Yeah.
But bad being good.
Well, that's also what it means. I'm bad. I'm nationwide.
Correct. All right.
Well, Joe, they also play horns. Yeah. They both.
Oh, shit.
it was sitting there in bold print, you know, the Dusty Hill played tenor sax on Hi-Fi Mama, also sang the vocals, and Billy Gibbons played baritone sax. The horns on this album were from
them, huh?
Yeah.
You know what? That would be interesting, like someone talk to him about that, like, did you guys really play saxophone or you're messing with us? No, I would imagine they probably would have played it. Someone would have complained if they took someone else, you know, credit from somebody.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sharon Osbourne tried that during Diary of a Madman. It took 10 years and they got quite a considerable amount of money. I think I had talked about that in one of my reviews.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I guess there's... Because I read somewhere they credited the wrong blues player.
Oh.
These guys did.
Was that Blizzard of Oz or no?
No, it was Diary, but I'm talking about on this album, there was a little footnote somewhere. I didn't put it in, but on Dust My Broom, they gave...
Oh, credit to the wrong original.
Yeah, it was Robert Johnson. They didn't credit themselves, but they didn't credit the right bluesman. Oh, so on another printing, they corrected it.
Well, that was common with blues of that era anyways to cover because
– Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like everyone would claim, like, I wrote that song.
Well, you know what? When I read that there were 2 cover songs on here, I thought Hi-Fi Mama was a blues cover.
Oh, one of them?
Yeah. Because it's just – That's just a great – they wrote a great fucking blues song that just fucking rocks. It's like an assault for 2 minutes.
You know, I do want to say that Warm Beer and Chief Seats is going to be in the live audience of a SmackDown here in several weeks.
Yes. This is true.
We got to see if anyone sees this on TV. We have to have a poster somewhere.
Yeah.
Like a message on it, you know. I still say you have a message to Subway Slam.
Absolutely. That's who the message is for.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of the Subway Slam on a tractor in overalls and a crappy cowboy hat.
I heard Subway Slam can palm a medicine ball.
I think it was the first time he saw daylight when he went down to Tennessee this summer.
No. He was down south here for a real brief moment.
Yeah, and, that's true.
He had to do yard work. He had worked up a good sweat. So
yeah.
But his skin is very pale. The Subway Slam. Well, he lives in the subway, so that's going to happen.
Yeah. Pasty white like his mom's.
Karen.
Yes, he's got Karen skin.
Yes.
guess. There you go. Now, I was going
to
say.
Yeah, there we go. Now right, right. I thought you were going to just like come in like with one more fun
no,
fact.
No.
That was good, though. That was good.
Cue the music.
That could have been a good bit, though, in the future.
Yeah. It was a bit.
All right. Well, any final words?
Yeah. See ya.
No. All right. See ya.
Oh, yeah. Melissa, don't forget my panties.
For Petey.
Yeah, for Petey, of course. Fucking pervert.